Start your engine!
From the dirt tracks to the brickyard, Daytona to Phoenix, Thomas and Lou are covering it all. Welcome to the Racing Rundown on Sports Fan Radio 1330 and SportsFanRockford.com.
Welcome to the Racing Rundown on Sports Fan 1330. It's Thomas Gomez, Lou Lombardo. We are here to talk racing mostly, but man, it has been a week.
It has been a week, yes, that's for sure.
Normally we're coming off Talladega, there's plenty to talk about just in the race, but
and there is.
There definitely is, but look, I think the elephant in the room is everything that happened at Talladega surrounding Bubba Wallace, surrounding the noose found in his garage, and the NASCAR reaction to what happened.
Yeah, for sure.
It was definitely an emotionally charged weekend. In lots of different ways. I feel like you kind of rode the roller coaster of outrage to heartbreaking, watching everything happen and seeing that beautiful moment. And then, you know, NASCAR coming out with the news that, well, maybe we jumped the gun. But Steve Phelps, president of NASCAR, he did a teleconference on Thursday that kind of broke down where NASCAR's side of the investigation wound up, gave a great timeline of everything, which I think put it into perspective a little bit better than we had all been, assuming the way it ran out. So here, we're gonna replay the entire teleconference of what Steve Phelps, president of NASCAR, had to say on Thursday.
We wanted to take the time here to update you all on some of the findings we've had over the last several days and answer the questions that you have about the investigation. We know this has been a difficult week, and we appreciate all your patience and professionalism throughout it. And we've looked forward to the time that we could speak with each of you, and that time is now. So with that said, I'll turn it over to NASCAR President Steve Phelps. Steve?
Thank you, Eric. And everyone, appreciate your time, as always. We think it's important to get back together as quickly as we could. Want to thank you for your patience during this process. I know there are a lot of questions and didn't have the opportunity to take questions on Tuesday. When I spoke on late Tuesday, the federal investigation had just been completed. Before then, we were not allowed to comment beyond what was disclosed, and we wanted to make sure we had a complete investigation before commenting in detail and fielding questions. So we will be fielding questions at the end. But as I said on Tuesday, we thought it was important you heard from us as quickly as we could. At this time, we now have completed our own investigation. Before opening up for questions, I do want to say a few things to add some context and color around the events at Talladega and the days since. First, I want to touch on our approach and decision to investigate. As I mentioned on Tuesday, given the facts presented to us, we would have pursued this with the same sense of urgency and purpose. Upon learning of and seeing the noose, our initial reaction was to protect our driver. We're living in a highly charged and emotional time. What we saw was a symbol of hate and was only present in one area of the garage, that of the 43 car of Bubba Wallace. In hindsight, I should have used the word alleged in our statement. Many of you have seen the photo. As you can see from the photo, the noose was real, as was our concern for Bubba. With similar emotion, others across our industry and our media stood up to defend the NASCAR family, our NASCAR family, because they are part of the NASCAR family too. We were proud to see so many stand up for what's right. I think it's important to briefly go through the timeline now that our investigation is complete. It's not exhaustive, but I think we'll give you a sense for what happened and the procedures and how we went forward with the investigation. So on Sunday, after initial inspection and prior to the race, a member of the 43 team noticed the noose in the garage stall. At roughly 4:30, NASCAR was alerted to the presence of the noose. At that point, we did a full sweep of the garage by our security team, and only the rope of the 43 team stall was was a noose. All the others were regular ropes. At about 6 o'clock, NASCAR senior leadership met and immediately determined this needed to be investigated and began those initial steps of the investigation. At approximately 7:30, I notified Bubba Wallace of what was found in the garage. After that, we continued to gather facts and conduct our investigation. We thought it was important to put out a statement as quickly as we could, which we did at roughly 10:40 on Sunday evening. Early Monday morning, FBI Birmingham office reached out to us. By roughly 10 o'clock, the FBI arrived with 15 field agents to begin their investigation. We provided the FBI with a list of personnel with access to the garage, as well as video and images taken from the weekend and the 2019 fall weekend as well. During the course of the day, the FBI interviewed race team personnel from multiple teams, NASCAR officials, track fire and safety personnel, and track custodial staff. Talladega Superspeedway also provided the FBI with a list of events that had taken place since October of 2019, which is when the new garages opened. The FBI reports back at the end of the day that their interviews are complete for the day, and the evidence so far, or thus far at that point, was inconclusive, with plans to continue their investigation the following morning. On Tuesday morning, NASCAR received additional video from a team and provided it to the FBI. The video corroborates the testimony from one of the interviews that the FBI had conducted that the noose was present in that stall during the Fall Cup event. The U.S. Attorney's Office and the FBI informed NASCAR that their investigation had conclusively found this was not a hate crime. We were asked to keep this confidential until the release. Their release went out at roughly 4:10. About 4:15, we released our own statement, and then we had our NASCAR teleconference on Tuesday evening. So those are the events of the day. Want to talk a little bit what's happened since then. Through the investigation, the examination of the video and photographic evidence, the FBI was able to determine the noose was present in the same garage stall as last fall. It was still our responsibility to find answers to key questions, as we had talked about on Tuesday. How did the noose get there? Was anyone an intended target? Was this a code of conduct violation? Are nooses present elsewhere in other garages where we race? So let me tackle the last one first. NASCAR conducted a thorough sweep of all the garage areas across where the tracks where we race. So across those 29 tracks and 1,684 garage stalls, we found only 11 total that had a pull-down rope tied in a knot, and only one noose, the one discovered on Sunday in Bubba Wallace's garage. We further determined that the noose was not in place when the October 2019 race weekend began, but was created at some point during that weekend. Given that timing and the garage access policies and procedures at the time, we were unfortunately unable to determine with any certainty who tied this rope in this manner or why it was done. And we know it brings up another question. How could it have gone unnoticed by so many people in October 2019 and for the morning of on June 21, 2020. Our ultimate conclusion for this investigation is to ensure that this never happens again, that no one walks by a noose without recognizing the potential damage it can do. Moving forward, we'll be conducting thorough sweeps of the garage area to ensure nothing like this happens again, and we are installing additional cameras in all of our garages. We'll make any changes necessary to our sanctions and our code of conduct, and we will mandate that all members of our industry complete sensitivity and unconscious bias training with specifics and timing forthcoming. Going forward, our efforts are best spent on making sure every competitor feels safe and every guest feels welcome. I would also like to reinforce that we did see a Talladega in pre-race on Monday. Our drivers, crews, and officials proudly demonstrated that we are united in the belief that there is no place for racism in our sport. We want everyone with a love for racing to feel welcome and a part of our NASCAR family. And our industry is going to protect our own against anyone that feels differently. My hope is that the fortunate results of the FBI investigation should not diminish the impact of that moment, nor the message our sport sent. The world saw our true colors, and it made us all incredibly proud. Before I turn this over to questions, let me reiterate two things. Bubba Wallace and the 43 team had nothing to do with this. Bubba Wallace has done nothing but represent this sport with courage, class, and dignity. It is offensive seeing anyone suggest otherwise, and frankly, it's further evidence of how far we still need to go as a society. Secondly, there's been discussion and criticism on how this was handled and characterized. Some feel that the phrasing or words used were not right. That comes with the territory, and I will take full responsibility for that and for the emotion that was attached to it. Based on the evidence we had, we felt that one of our drivers had been threatened, a driver who had been extremely courageous in recent words and actions. It was our responsibility to react and investigate, and that's exactly what we did.
NASCAR President Steve Phelps, that is what happened according to the NASCAR investigation and also according to the FBI investigation. The noose found in Bubba Wallace's stall apparently was there before anyone even knew the 43 team would be using that stall.
Yep, it was just pure coincidence. I think I saw Bob Pockrass post on Twitter earlier in the week a picture that he had taken when that was Paul Menard's pit stall last year.
Yeah, and look, you can see it if you find the picture that NASCAR released as well. You can see it's fashioned differently than just a loop on the end of a rope.
Yep, exactly.
It is fashioned like a noose. Now, were they thinking about Bubba when they did it? I don't necessarily know that that's where we're at.
Mm-hmm.
The way I feel about this whole thing, if you're trying to make claims that Bubba Wallace lied about this, fabricated this to keep himself in the headlines or anything like that, that's just not how it shakes out.
Right.
He didn't find it. He didn't go to NASCAR and say, look what's in my stall.
Yeah, and Bubba was notified of it. It was a teammate that had found it, and then Bubba found out about it later.
Yeah, he was not the whistleblower on this whole thing. And in fact, they tried to keep it quiet from him until they decided that it was a hate crime, and that was decided by NASCAR.
Mm-hmm.
So if anybody jumped a gun, and I think he admitted it, Steve Phelps was the one who went a little too strong. Now, if you're looking at this whole situation, you're Bubba Wallace, right? You've gone through a fight with the flag situation.
Mm-hmm.
They're still protesting outside of Talladega with the rebel flag. They have the flag flying from a plane, literally above the racetrack.
Yep.
And then this happens. It's kind of hard to sit here and judge him for reacting the way he did and going along with the narrative that this is a hate crime, considering everything that's been piled on this guy.
Yeah, for sure. And then even with just the FBI getting involved, that is going to break the news immediately.
Oh, absolutely. There's no way you're going to keep this quiet.
Right.
No way at all. But, I think the best part of the entire weekend was that moment of seeing all the drivers, all the crew members, all the officials parade down pit lane with him. Now, whether you want to say that it doesn't matter now because the noose wasn't meant for Bubba, let's take the noose out of the equation.
Right.
There's all this other stuff that he's had to deal with, just with the flag stuff. Let's just stay with the flag stuff because we know that stuff actually happened. Those fights happened, that people feel very strongly about that. That was a beautiful moment to see in NASCAR that, hey, look, man, we are not that stereotype that's out there of, oh, redneck NASCAR fans.
Mm-hmm.
No.
And just to see everybody, support him and literally walk with him and his team. I mean, even Richard Petty came in.
Yeah.
He's, what, 82?
Yeah.
He shouldn't really be out with public with everybody.
He's got a lot to lose.
Yeah.
With COVID going around.
Exactly. It was just nice to see everybody kind of come together around Bubba Wallace.
It was. Take the noose out of the equation. Yep. I think that's the takeaway from the weekend that we need to look at, how beautiful that moment that we all got to see happen was. Now, I think the other side of this thing is NASCAR, yes, they jumped the gun. They could have handled it differently, but NASCAR historically has not been very active in social causes, right?
Right.
They're not at the forefront of trying to change mm-hmm. the world.
Right.
And I think they got themselves a foot in the door with the flag thing, which I think was the right move. Banning it, I don't see a problem with that. You know, you can have the argument all you want, but that's my opinion on it. And I think that they saw this happen. They're in uncharted territory for them, and they overreacted a little bit. They decided to err on the side of caution, which is probably the right move, because let's just say, hypothetically speaking, that noose was placed there for Bubba.
Mm-hmm.
This all came back that they found out, well, yeah, there was somebody that got in there. It was a hate crime, and NASCAR kept it quiet.
Yeah. Well, I think really at the end of the day, it really shows that NASCAR took this very seriously.
100%.
Even if they jumped the gun, they took it extremely seriously, and they took every step they could to get to the bottom of it.
Yeah, you're 100% right. And look, if you look up the picture of the thing, it looks different than the other pull downs. It just does. Mm-hmm. And they even Steve Phelps even explained that they searched all the other garages,
yep,
across all their tracks, and none of them look like that.
Which is still it's odd that one,
yeah,
is shaped that way. But still, it's a coincidence, and it's just so weird that
right.
that's how it played out.
Right. And for anybody that's still trying to blame this on Bubba, they didn't do it, because we have pictures of it there when
right.
it was Paul Menard's garage.
Yeah, exactly.
When Wood Brothers was in there. So he didn't go in there and tie this thing up and turn it into a Jussie Smollett situation that was in Chicago.
Yeah.
That's not what this is.
And I think, you know, people thinking that Bubba did this, or he set this up for more publicity for himself and his causes, I think Jussie really kind of set that precedent.
I agree with you.
Because nobody expected that from him. But yet, it happened.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, people start thinking that, you know, maybe it's another instance like that, you know?
Believe me, if this was that sort of an instance, I'd be the first one to not be sitting here in a 43 hat.
Yeah.
You know, I would be, I would be as offended as anybody
yeah.
else, because it just devalues everything you're trying to do.
Exactly. You take, you know, one step forward and like five steps back.
100%. 100% I agree with you on that.
Yeah.
Now, Bubba has made he posted this on Twitter. He released a statement. This came out, I think it was on Wednesday he released this one. He said, "It's been an emotional few days. First off, I want to say how relieved I am that the investigation revealed that it was not what we feared it was. I want to thank my team, NASCAR, and the FBI for acting swiftly and treating this as a real threat. I think we'll gladly take a little embarrassment over the whole alternatives that could have been. Make no mistake, though, some will try. This should not detract from the show of unity we had on Monday and the progress we've made as a sport to become more welcoming, a more welcoming environment for all," which I think that's that kind of ties a bow on it.
Yeah, pretty nicely. Much. Very well spoken. Yes.
And to me, that was the most important part of the weekend, that no one in NASCAR did this.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't one of our own, quote unquote, that did this to Bubba, that perpetrated a hate crime. That was the most relieving feeling for me, because it wasn't like, oh man, I just don't want it to be in-house. And then the systemic racism just, mm-hmm. you know, the whole conversation starts again about how NASCAR is redneck and look, it's in it. But it wasn't. And
right.
I think that was the best news we could have all possibly gotten this weekend.
Yeah. And NASCAR even made it clear, you know, whoever it was, they were going to, you know, ban them from NASCAR, period. You know, you're out.
Mm-hmm.
It's done. It's your career is basically over in this sport. And another thing, you know, with NASCAR, they were going to investigate this, and they have cameras everywhere,
mm-hmm.
especially in the garages. So the fact that NASCAR didn't come out and say this person did it, or they didn't, you know, point the finger right away, that told me there was more to this story.
Yeah, it was a lot deeper. You're mm-hmm. right.
You know, when I listen to NASCAR radio all day Monday, sitting here in the office, I'm like, I want to know who did it, or what team. Just I want to know something.
Yeah.
And the fact that I didn't know anything by the time I left work, it's like, there's more to this then.
Yeah. Well, and then
it's
Steve
not so
Phelps,
cut and dry.
He did a teleconference also on Tuesday where he took no questions.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like, okay, well, I guess we're never going to know. They're probably going to keep it quiet. But then they turn around Thursday and here you go. Here's what we know. Here's the picture of the thing that we have. And this is where we're at.
Yeah.
And look, I'm glad that they're not saying we're sorry we overreacted, because I don't think in this day and age you can. You're damned if you do, and you're damned if you don't.
Right.
If you don't react enough, you didn't do enough. And if you react too much, you've done too much. What there's a very hard line to find with being transparent and overreacting. And I think NASCAR is still trying to find their way through that,
mm-hmm.
because it has in the past, they would keep things quiet. They handle things in-house, and it's a different world in NASCAR right now.
Yeah, for sure.
I think that they erred on the side of caution, and I think that's what you need to do, especially in the way society is just charged up right now,
mm-hmm.
is just kind of something I've never seen in my lifetime, and I'm sure a lot of people in NASCAR haven't as well, and they're just trying to react it the best way they can.
Yeah, and they're taking it serious, too.
Yeah.
So I think that's important.
Yeah, you absolutely have to. And, you know, for anybody on Facebook or Twitter complaining
there
about
are so
Bubba,
many.
Oh, my God.
That's all I see when I go on social media now.
First of all, spell check it.
Yes.
Can we start there? I'm not saying I'm perfect, but if I'm going to get on my soapbox, I'm going to run this through Word and make sure everything is spelled before I go ahead and post. Yeah, maybe a period or a comma in there. And then also, if you're going to start quoting stuff about how he's never finished in the top 10, maybe look at some statistics.
Yeah, yeah. Let's go back and look.
Just a couple. I'm not saying the guy's Kyle Busch. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying he's done okay in some races.
Yeah.
Better than the top 10.
Mm-hmm.
So just for the record, do a little research before you get out there and start screaming about a guy and accusing him of stuff that, quite frankly,
you know nothing
he didn't
about.
Do. Right. Yeah. You know nothing about, and he didn't do what you're accusing him of doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's really the perfect storm of a crap situation where the thing's hanging there, the noose is in that garage, he happens to get that garage. What's happening in society right now is happening in society, and boom, powder mm-hmm. keg goes off.
Yep.
That's where we're at. And NASCAR with the flag also on top. So there's so much that had to fall into place for this to happen that it just seems impossible, but this seems to be what the situation was. So,
and hopefully we don't have another situation like this again.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Hopefully it, you know, and even if something is found next time, maybe there's a slower process on the NASCAR side that still tries to be transparent and also get the information out there slowly.
Smoothly.
Yeah.
Not so choppy or roller coastery.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Yeah it was absolutely roller coaster.
Making up my words here.
So aside from all that, we had some racing at Talladega.
Yeah, we did.
We did.
We did. They eventually, but we did.
Yeah, of course there was rain because, you know, it was a NASCAR event.
Yeah, and it's 2020, so
exactly.
Why not?
Exactly. I mean, why not? But we are going to dive into what happened at Talladega with Xfinity and with Cup and take a look at the doubleheader we have coming up for Cup at Pocono starting today. I keep forgetting to say it's starting today because it's Saturday. But yeah,
it
starts this afternoon.
We're finally here.
Yeah, so we'll dive into all that next. It's Sports Fan Radio 1330 with the Racing Rundown.
The Racing Rundown on Sports Fan Radio 1330. It's a big weekend in NASCAR. Lou and Thomas are here to talk about it. Welcome back to the Racing Rundown on Sports Fan Radio 1330 and SportsFanRockford.com.
Welcome back to the Racing Rundown on Sports Fan Radio 1330. It's Lou Lombardo with Thomas Gomez. And look, Talladega last week, Pocono doubleheader starts today, but also tonight we have local racing.
We do.
Rockford Speedway opening back up. We are going to chat with Dave Deary from the Rockford Speedway later on in the final lap. But for now, let's take a look at what happened at Talladega. I'm talking about what happened on the track.
On the track.
Not in the garages. Yeah. A little refreshing to move actually onto racing on a racing show, right? So Ryan Blaney.
Yeah.
Ryan Blaney does a
One,
monster.
Two in a row.
Yeah. Monster job blocking.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Monster job blocking.
All of Team Penske was up front. They were pushing like crazy,
like
too.
Like crazy, man. Like crazy. It was, I got to give him credit. I mean, there are some people out there that feel like maybe the type of blocking he was doing should be outlawed. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There should be a rule against it, I should say. But I think there was an art to what he was trying to do up front, especially at Talladega, going as fast as they are. It was just pretty impressive.
It was. And blocking, come on, it's a part of racing.
I agree.
It's going to happen.
Especially at a super speedway.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, it's got to be a part of it. I don't think you can really police that much. But Ryan Blaney brings home the championship there at Talladega.
With a near photo finish.
Yeah.
That was close.
0.07 of a second, and you would have had picked the winner because Ricky Stenhouse Jr. came in second by 0.07 of a second.
Yeah. What was it? It's what, a nose?
12 inches, I think is what it came down to.
Okay. Yeah. Closer in the nose then.
Eric Almirola backwards takes number 3.
Pointed the wrong direction and he comes home third. I love it.
I do too, man. It was just, and you know, there was never the big one. They didn't really have a gigantic, typical Talladega wreck.
Right.
But at the end right there, things got real chippy. Guys are getting knocked around. And it got, if we're going to say the big one, I think that might have been the big one, but it wasn't even that big.
Right. The one.
The one, right. I think it was great seeing Almirola backwards. And look, as much as I always give Ricky Stenhouse Jr. crap, well done at Talladega, man. And you brought it up last week. Yeah, yeah, you said it.
He's really good at super speedways.
Yeah, he is. He,
he'll always be in my lineup for Daytona and Talladega, always.
That's not stupid. I mean, he won stage two and lost the race by 0.07 of a second, which is the blink of an eye.
Yeah, and I think it really goes to show how good he is as a driver, because he's in a different car, different team this year.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. But also, when he gets out on a super speedway, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. tends to put the pedal down, and that's the end of his day. He's just steering. If he wrecks, he wrecks. If he comes in second by 0.07 of a second, he comes in second. That's just the way he's going to drive that car.
Right.
He's all or nothing. There's not going to be a cautious run out of Ricky Stenhouse Jr. He's going to take the field out with him and die trying, or he's going to get the job done. And, I mean, this is as close as you're going to get without actually pulling off the win, coming in second by that close. It was kind of crazy.
But if I was him, I'd take second.
Yeah.
You know, if I can't have first, I'll take second.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's way better than the next option and the one after that.
Yep.
Again, another one, though, that always runs well at Talladega, Eric Almirola.
Mm-hmm.
He's always right there, and I think you brought that up again last
week
as well.
Yeah, like a top three average finish.
Yeah.
And like 2 years.
There he is right there in the top three, in backwards this time. Which,
yes, backwards.
Very Ricky Bobby of him, I feel like, you know? Yeah.
I think I saw a picture earlier this week of them coming to the finish line.
Uh-huh.
Almirola was the first one in that frame. And he was backwards, but he was the first one in that frame.
That's crazy.
It's just so funny.
It's always funny when somebody goes over the line, you know, wrecking or... I shouldn't say it's funny with what happened to Ryan Newman, but he went over the line on his roof, and it's still, that was his finish. You know, it's always, it doesn't take away that you cross the finish line just because you're sideways or upside down.
Yep.
It's just funny that that's the rule in NASCAR. Like, well, no, he crossed it. He crossed backwards. It. Who cares? He crossed it.
I think there was even a moment years ago with Carl Edwards. He got out of the car and ran to the finish line just so he could say he finished.
But I'm pretty sure they don't count that.
I don't think so, no.
I applaud the effort. And
I do the same thing.
And that's straight out of the movie Talladega Nights, oddly enough, throw the Ricky Bobby reference in again. So I had picked Chase Elliott, 38th accident. He was out of it.
Do you think that there was more to that story? Because I think, was it Keselowski that kind of spun him out?
Yeah.
Do you think there's more like a Team Penske versus Chase Elliott story here?
Yeah. I don't know.
That's something I saw come up on social media a lot. Even though him and Blaney are friends, I think they're okay. It's just Joey and Brad.
I don't think Joey and Brad are in cahoots on anything, first of all. I feel like Brad and Joey don't necessarily get along. They're just on the same team. I also don't feel like Blaney and those two are tight either. You know, they don't strike me as guys that like get along really. Like to me,
Blaney and Chase?
No. Blaney and
Brad and Joey.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
No. To me, I was gonna say Blaney and Chase seem more like teammates.
Yeah.
And even Bubba in there, because those guys are
they're all
close.
Practically best friends off the track.
Right, and they're on different teams.
Yep.
But when I look at them, I'm always like, well, those guys are on the same team. No, they're not. They're driving different cars and different owners and everything else. But, I don't know that there was any deeper thing there. I don't know that there's anything between Brad and Chase, unless it's developing.
Yeah.
You know, chip on his shoulder, trying to prove that he's getting older in a contract year and prove that he can still hang with the new hot hand of NASCAR in Chase Elliott. Maybe, but
I was in that same boat. I'm like, maybe there was, maybe there wasn't. It just, I didn't even think about it till social media.
Yeah. I didn't either until you brought that up, and I hadn't seen too much of that pop up, but it could be possible. Now I'm going to be watching for that, and now I'm going to make that happen because my mind is going to start going down that.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thanks. I'm now going down that rabbit hole.
Yep.
I also had Corey LaJoie. He wound up in 16th. I'll take that. And I took Bubba because, you know, when we originally picked, I said there was so much going on, and at that point it was all around the rebel flag.
Yeah.
And he's driving with a chip on his shoulder. Well, that certainly escalated and quickly, and you know, cut to where we are with him today, finishing at 14th. So, all right, I was top 20 with everybody except for Chase, who wrecked out. I'll take two in the top 20, but you were right there, man.
Two in the top three.
You were right there with Stenhouse and Almirola.
Don't expect me to do that again.
No, I want you to pick both Poconos. Yeah. Now, I need to know who's winning. I got to put money on this thing.
Right.
Great race at Talladega, I think. Everything off the track aside, I think it was a very entertaining race once we got it underway. Of course, the rain, even day on Monday, day of the race, they only got 57 laps in, and then almost an hour rain delay that shut things down.
But still, I think I heard somewhere they had 52 or 56 lead changes at Talladega.
Right, which is crazy. Crazy.
Yeah.
Maybe it might have been 57, but it was, either way. That's insane.
Mm-hmm.
That is absolutely insane to happen at Talladega.
For sure. Yeah, Talladega is going to deliver regardless, but I was not expecting 50-something lead changes.
No, I wasn't expecting a such a well-raced race. I was expecting the big one, like everybody else. Yeah. I'm watching, like, when's it coming? When's half the field gone? I was going to blame Ricky Stenhouse, but no, it turned out to be just a very entertaining race of a race. Tyler Reddick getting his first stage win, stage one.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
That is good. He's becoming quite the, not becoming, he is a good driver.
He is a good driver, but I think he's
making
a
name
for
himself in Cup. Yeah,
I agree. He's making a name for himself, which pretty impressive there. I don't know if you caught any of the Xfinity race, but that was fun to watch.
Yeah, I think I caught a portion of it at the end. I think I saw that maybe the big one, and then
they were banging around the track all day.
Yeah.
That's kind of the fun of watching. Yeah, and that's the fun of watching Xfinity. These guys just crash and bang around, and they're still getting their feet under them. But Justin Haley gets the win. His first Xfinity win. Already has had a Cup Series win.
Yep.
He won last year at Daytona because of the rain out.
Uh-huh. So, won a Cup Series race before an Xfinity race.
Yeah, although I think he was a little bit more jacked to actually win a race as opposed to...
To get the checkered, not the yellow and checkered.
Yeah. Yeah, you won the night race at Daytona, kid.
Yep.
Great! That's awesome. I haven't been in the car in 4 hours. This is a good night.
Yeah.
And Ross Chastain gets the 100K for the dash for cash at Talladega, coming in second in the Xfinity Series. Now, I mean, look, we can keep talking about Talladega, but there's a lot happening starting today at Pocono. Mm-hmm. Really, it started yesterday with the ARCA Series running.
Yeah,
they have a stacked weekend in the Pocono Mountains of Pennsylvania.
Yeah, first in NASCAR history, too, I believe.
First doubleheader, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they've run some close to each other, considering all the schedule changes recently. But, yeah, this is the first full-on doubleheader that NASCAR has done, and Pocono is where it's happening. Today... it will get going at 2:30 for the Cup Series, 11:30 the Truck Series will run, and then, like I said, 2:30 for the Cup Series, the Pocono Organic 325 will step off at Pocono, and then they go again tomorrow.
Yeah. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be
in.
So looking forward to it.
So we should kind of break this down, because they're running today at 3:30. Then tomorrow, 11:30, the Xfinity Cup runs, Xfinity Series runs, and then Cup goes at 3:30 again. 3 o'clock for Sunday. Pocono 350 will go off. By the way, Josh Blakey in both of those races.
Yes, I'm looking forward to talking to him next week.
Yeah,
get his thoughts on all this.
He's got to run both those. He's going to be in the No. 7 Insurance King Chevy for Tommy Baldwin Racing for both Cup Series races at Pocono this weekend. So, where are you at with this? How do we even pick?
I think you can pick for the first one,
uh-huh.
but because the second one is
different, it's a crapshoot.
All lead lap leaders are going to be inverted.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you even, I don't know.
I don't know either. That's a good question. I mean, I think we just got to go with the first one, and, you know, the second one we'll all be surprised next week when we're talking about it, especially when it's Josh Blakey that somehow comes through. God, that'd be bananas. But where are you at? Who do you have for this week?
So if I'm looking at a dark horse, which if you look at the stats, you wouldn't call him a dark horse. William Byron has a 2-year average finish of third.
Uh-huh.
So he runs extremely well here at Pocono. Both years top 10, obviously, for a third place finish. I think he's going to be one to keep an eye on.
Well, and I think what would be interesting about that, too, is then in the race between Chad and Jimmy, Chad would be the first one into victory lane since making the switch at crew chief.
Yeah, yeah. I forget William Byron has not won a race yet.
No.
So that would be something.
He's run well.
Yeah.
He's run well, but he has not actually won a race. But, yeah, that would be Chad Knaus getting the first one as crew chief for the 24, and Jimmy's still looking forward in the 48. Yeah. I wouldn't mind seeing Jimmy come through. I
want to see him win a race this year.
I feel like I'm going to say that every week because I just want to see Jimmy Johnson win one more time.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's going to rekindle anything. I don't think it's going to make him want to come back again for another full season. Mm-hmm. I just feel like I want to see Jimmy get one more win and not go out with this losing streak. You know, it's just not.
And it's doable this year with Chevy and their equipment.
Man, their equipment really has stepped up, huh?
Uh-huh.
And I think it was a small change just to the nose, but that seems to have made a very big difference.
Yeah, the Camaros are known for their pointed nose, kind of like a triangle, I guess.
Yeah.
And they kind of flatten that out, and that's making a huge difference, apparently.
Huge difference. At least it seems to be.
Yeah.
It absolutely seems to be.
So who do you have as a dark horse? Do you have one?
For a dark horse? I don't know. That's a good question. I think I know who I like in this race, and I think I like Bowman.
Okay.
I just got a feeling about Bowman. You know, I think he's going to run in a Chevy, which I feel like last year I would have never said that.
No.
Those words would not have come out of my mouth. He's running in a Chevy. I like that. This year, completely different story. Last year, I would have gone all Toyota because Toyota was just a monster last year. And
Toyota and Ford, too. I feel like they had a competition there in the beginning.
Totally. They absolutely did. It was Penske and
the captain.
Gibbs going back
and forth. Or captain and coach.
Coach, yeah, right, exactly. So I'm going to say Alex Bowman. If you want to call him a dark horse, I'm going to go with Alex Bowman. But I also I feel like Kyle Busch is lying in the weeds, man.
Yeah.
I feel like he's lying in the weeds.
He's Kyle Busch.
Yeah.
I mean, if you don't have him or think about him every week, you know, that's a problem.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I feel like it could be Kyle Busch's week to pop out and grab that and lock up that playoff spot at Pocono. At least for one of them.
Yeah.
And probably the first one.
Yeah.
But the second one is going to be, like you said, too tough to call with inverting the field.
And the same car, essentially, too.
Yeah.
You don't have any major.
Right. I think major issues, you can work on it, but you still have to run the same car.
Yep. Yeah, you can make adjustments to the car, just nothing too major that you would need a backup car for.
And this is what Xfinity did at Homestead.
Mm-hmm.
They already did this, so if you're sitting there thinking there's no way the cars are going to be in shape to run, they will be. They'll be fine. Mm-hmm. Xfinity made it work. A couple guys had to do a couple things, and two great races. If you didn't watch those Xfinity races, those were two of the best races I've seen hands down all season. They ran really well. So I'm expecting
something similar. Yep.
Yeah, out of the Cup Series this week.
Yeah.
You know, once they get the feel for the track and they get back out there the second day, they get to watch some tape on themselves the night after and, you know.
And the first race could maybe even be practice for the second one since they don't get any of that now.
That's kind of what it's breaking down to. Yeah, you're actually getting a practice race in, and then the second race, that second race could really be spectacular.
It could be.
I mean, there could be a lot of finesse involved in that second race. Now, look, it's Pocono. It's a crazy big track. It's a crazy fast track because, I mean, there's very little banking at Pocono on the turns, on all three of the turns because of the tricky triangle. You can gain some serious speed, which is why we've seen so many spectacular wrecks at Pocono. And I actually found a great breakdown of some of the wrecks you've seen over the years at Pocono that it's always fun to sit and watch wrecks, right? So this video has compiled a lot of them. I mean, like Davey Allison in 92 when he went airborne. I mean, it was like he was just flying a plane at that point. The one, this was probably 2010, I think, when Junior and Steve Park got into it, and Steve Park ended up rolling through the grass several times. Junior jumped out of the car and ran over to see if he was okay. Both of them were okay. But spectacular wrecks. I know in 2018, Bubba Wallace went right into the wall.
No brakes.
No brakes.
Yep.
And he tried to slow himself down by going through the grass. Barely slowed him down. He just nailed that wall.
Yep.
And he said that was, I mean, he was dazed after that.
It was a hard hit.
Incredibly hard hit.
Yeah.
So we're going to see some spectacular stuff. I got this video, too. If you want to check it out, we'll throw it up on the Sports Fan Facebook page for you. You can just slide over there and soak this up until the race gets going today, the first run at Pocono. I think this is a great idea for NASCAR.
I think it is too.
Given what we've seen with the night racing, the weeknight racing, and the running so close together, I love everything about this back-to-back racing.
Mm.
In fact, let's give me more of it.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, I gladly want more of this.
No question. So, locally, we have racing coming back tonight at the Rockford Speedway.
Yeah, we do.
Which is awesome. We're in phase four.
It's hard to think of that. You know, we're in June, almost July, and we're talking about the Speedway just now opening.
I know. And on top of it, now, of course, it's the doubleheader weekend. And
yep.
Fine. You know what? Overload me with the racing.
Yes.
That's fine.
No problems there.
I've got DVR. Yep. I can make everything balance out this weekend. Don't worry about that. But we are going to talk to Dave Deary from the Rockford Speedway about what's going on tonight there. You can get your tickets at rockfordspeedway.com, and I believe the box office also opening up early so you can get it taken care of. There are some restrictions. Dave's going to dive into all that next in the final lap on the Racing Rundown. It's Lou Lombardo with Thomas Gomez, Sports Fan Radio, 1330.
We'll take two tires and a splash of fuel. It's the Racing Rundown on Sports Fan Radio, 1330. Welcome back to the Racing Rundown on Sports Fan Radio 1330 and SportsFanRockford.com.
Welcome back into the Racing Rundown, Sports Fan Radio 1330. It's Thomas Gomez with Lou Lombardo. We are talking racing, and we're talking racing local because some of the best news I've seen so far is Rockford Speedway reopening this weekend. And we are joined now by David Deary of the Rockford Speedway. Dave, you guys got to be busy over there.
I got to tell you, it's been crazy. I got a little bit of older cell phone, and I'm on a 3 charge a day.
Wow.
Well, if that says any indication. But, boy, is it certainly exciting. We've been waiting since April to get the season, our 73rd season, kicked off. And, boy, and now it's here. Unfortunately, we have limited capacity and a lot of restrictions that we're under. But I'll take it. You know, I'll live with those rules, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, we got to restart somewhere, right?
Yeah. What are the seating? What is the capacity and restrictions that are at the Rockford Speedway?
Well, by the state, we're at 20%, but we worked with the Winnebago County Health Department to do the seating, and it'll be, we can seat up to six people next to each other, nobody in the front of them, nobody behind them, and 6 feet between them. So it's kind of a checkered board pattern, actually, and that actually puts our percentage up to about 28% if we fill all those seats. So we're anywhere from 1,500 to 2,000 people with that seating diagram. And we are encouraging them to get tickets online ahead of time. And they'll also be available at the gate on Saturday.
So plenty of options to get your hands on tickets for opening weekend, which is so weird that we're like knocking on the door of the 4th of July and Rockford Speedway is opening up now. But rockfordspeedway.com if you want to grab more info. You guys have a lot going on, too. It looks like there is a full card for Saturday night.
Well, what we have done with our schedule, this is our original opening night schedule, and it's our five major divisions that compete at the Speedway. It's our NASCAR late models, our Grand National Sportsman, American Short Trackers, Roadrunners, and the Bandits. So it's five different classes be competing Saturday night. And then we kind of figured we'll pick up our schedule like where we already had, kind of where we left off, continuing on through the summer. Obviously, there's going to be some changes to that, but the majority of it, we'll get that out in the next week here. Our goal has been getting this first event going, and boy, that has been a mountain hill to climb, I'll say that, but we're getting near the top.
How anxious were the racers to get back? I'm sure it wasn't difficult to twist their arm to get into the track.
No, about a month ago, we were fortunately able to start allowing the cars to practice on the track. You know, we didn't even do that for a long time.
Wow.
So they sat, and then they had to scramble to get their cars finished and ready to go racing because they kind of sat along, too, with no opening deadline or date in mind. So, but, yeah, they all are... They can't wait. They drive by. They sit in the parking lot. It's just, and even on Saturday nights, you know, when we're been closed, there's people that come into the parking lot, and I guess they're just dreaming at that point. So the dream's coming to reality this weekend, and they're looking forward to it.
Well, for anybody that doesn't really understand how it works, this is kind of where you get into it, right? Tracks like Rockford Speedway. I know we can all flip on Fox or NBC and see them running at the Brickyard or Chicagoland Speedway, but this is where it all starts. This is where really the heart of racing, in my opinion, lies.
We are one of the 600 short tracks in the country, you know, scattered in countrysides and cities all around the world, but you're right. You can be a 16-year-old, and actually now at 14-year-old, and come race right in your hometown, right down the road. And that's where people get started, as you said. And then they want to go faster. Then they move up a class, and they want to go faster, so they move up. And each class, the cars are faster, handle better, and they're obviously a little more expensive. So you grow into it. And Rockford's been here for 73 years, and we put out a lot of stars over the years that got their start here at Rockford and then moved on. So you never know who you're going to see. 2 years down the road, you might see him on TV. So,
I mean, literally, Chad Knaus, seven-time champion crew chief, got his start right here, crew chiefing for his dad at Rockford Speedway.
Yes, that's a perfect example. Travis Quaffle out of Janesville was the truck champion back in, I still couldn't tell you the year, but he was also the American Short Tracker champion at Rockford Speedway. So there's a lot of those, and a lot of guys have traveled to Rockford on their way to the start. You know, the Mark Martin, those types of guys, the Matt Kenseth, all those guys have raced at Rockford, you know, learned the short track, and that's what they say. If you can't drive a short track, you can't really drive anywhere. So you got to learn the little bull rings, bang around, and figure it all out that way.
Yeah, that is, short tracks and home tracks are really where it all starts. I mean, if you, like Lou said, if you looked at it on TV versus, you know, what's at the Rockford Speedway, it is not the same. You have to be there in person. It's a completely different experience.
There's so much excitement in a short track, and I don't want to discount the big tracks. It's very unique. I've been to a lot of them, and the speeds that they carry is just incredible.
Oh, of course.
But, you know, the short track, they're side by side, they're banging, and they're spinning, and they recover, and you, that happens on a big track, and you're done. You're into the wall, and your car's in a wad. So, but the excitement of the short track, it's all right in front of you. You know, there's not a bad seat, essentially.
No, there's not.
No.
You can, you know, you smell it, you see it, you feel it.
Yeah. You do. I mean, that distinct smell, it's just being at the track is great. I mean, and look, it's a fun day. We have not been able to do anything for how long. Now racing's coming back right down the street, right here, Rockford Speedway on Saturday. And go get yourself a couple beers. Enjoy the hell out of a great night of racing. You're going to have fun. It's not a bunch of guys who don't know what they're doing. These guys are great at racing.
Oh, by far. You'll see it through all our divisions. You know, you'll see the seasoned veterans. You'll see the rookies. You'll see them make their mistakes. You'll see the veterans do the bump and run move. You'll see all that action all throughout the night. Gates open up at 5 o'clock, qualifying at 6, our first race, 7:07. So it's a Saturday night. It's short track. Got to be there.
That's right. I mean, in a nutshell, right there. I mean, tickets, $14. Kids, 6 to 11. $7, 5 and under, you're going to a race for free.
Yeah, it's a family event, and we try to cater to that. We try to get done early as we can. That always depends on how the activities on the track end up, but try to get done by 10:30 at night and let you get home in time. And if you like, if you don't have real little kids, well, technically I can't do this time, but I'll go with my thought here anyway, that you can go down in the pit area afterwards and meet the drivers. They'll let you sit in the race cars. They'll hand out hero cards. They'll give you autographs. But unfortunately, under our current restrictions, we're not allowing any public into the pit area afterwards. So I hope we can get that restriction released, because that's one of the best parts of the night also.
Got David Deary from the Rockford Speedway on the phone. Reopening on Saturday night. Reopening tonight, really. If you want to get your tickets online, probably the best way to go, rockfordspeedway.com, or in person at the box office. Dave, are you guys going to plan on doing anything like the bus races or anything else this year, or are we just, for now, focusing on getting some races going?
Well, yes and yes. So we're going to get this Saturday. We've been working on July 4th, our event, Saturday, July 4th, coming up next weekend. We are bringing the Big 8 Late Model Series to town for a 76-lap Star Spangled feature event. We'll have our American Short Trackers racing. The Roadrunners will race. The Roadrunners do our infamous midnight ride of Paul Revere, where the track lights are out for the Roadrunner feature race.
It's so awesome.
Spotlight on the roof. So we've been doing that for years, and we're doing spectacular drags where you can take your street car off out of the parking lot, and we'll do one-on-one eliminations with them. And I can't tell you right now, but I'm 90% sure we're going to be shooting fireworks.
Nice.
I was just about to ask you, because, I mean, man, that would corner the market.
That has been, well, at least one full battery charge out of my phone this past 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's all fluid for everybody. But look, David Deary, I can't tell you how excited we both were to find out that racing coming back, the Speedway reopening, Rockford Speedway, and 73rd season will get underway. It's starting tonight. A bunch of races on the card. You can still get tickets. You can get them at rockfordspeedway.com, or you can stop by the box office. Right, that is. What time is the box office going to open if anybody wants to grab tickets?
We're going to open that up at 5.
All right, 5 o'clock tonight. Get out there, get your tickets, and get a good spot. Enjoy yourself some short track racing. This is what it's all about. David Deary, Rockford Speedway, thanks for taking some time with us.
Yes, thank you.
Thanks, guys. If you get a chance, come out and visit.
You don't have to ask us twice, man. We will be there.
Awesome.
I think let's wrap this up and get over to the Rockford Speedway.
Yeah, I'm ready to go.
Or let's go watch the first Pocono race, because we have a lot of options this weekend.
Yes, we do.
It is a crazy packed weekend of racing, so we will shut down the racing rundown for this week. We will be back next week talking about recapping Pocono, I should say, both races. Josh Palicki running in the number 7 Insurance King Chevy for Tommy Baldwin Racing, both Cup Series races.
So be interested to get his thoughts on everything next week.
I'm sure he'll have a couple of things to say. For Thomas Gomez, it's Lou Lombardo wrapping up the Racing Rundown on Sports Fan Radio 1330.
Thanks for listening to the Racing Rundown. Catch our full podcast at sportsfanrockford.com. We'll be back next Saturday morning at 9 on Sports Fan Radio 1330.